And just talking about the love of God, man, I just want to revisit a really beautiful verse in the Bible and just kind of bring it back to the forefront of our hearts. Sometimes we can be so familiar with a verse that it can become common to us in our thinking, and we can kind of lose sight of the vibrancy that's there. You know, we're like, we hear a verse so many times where we kind of can feel like, yeah, I know that verse. Why do we need to cover that verse? I grabbed that verse. And so then that verse becomes like a common thing where we just count it as some common thing. And so I want to bring back a really beautiful verse that, man, everybody in the whole world, probably whether even you're a believer or not, knows this verse. And we just want to kind of bring out the vibrancy of this verse so that it can be in the forefronts of our thoughts and we can just know the love of God for us. And the verse we're talking about is John 3:16. And John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And we'll just pray real quick. I just thank you, Father, that you've poured your Spirit out. I thank you, Father, that, man, you're here with us and you're in us. I just thank you, Lord, that, man, we can, through this message, that we can know your love for us. Not just an intellectual knowing, but that we can know your love for us by way of having experienced it. I just thank you, Lord, that you didn't just create us to hear about your love and then try to sort it out ourselves, but you created us that we could know it by way of having experienced it and felt it in the deepest part of our being. And I just thank you, Father, that this message today can cause people to know your love for them. Thank you, Father. So John 3:16, and in John 3:16, the foundation from where that verse is written is talking about before Jesus came. It's talking about before God sent Jesus to die for the sin of the world. And really what it's talking about is the reason why God sent Jesus to die for the sin of the world. So he's talking about there's a reason why God sent Jesus, right? And John has seen the reason why God sent Jesus. And so John sees something about the way God felt in his heart for man, even while they were dead in their sin. I don't know if you guys realize, but when John says, "For God so loved the world," because that's before Jesus died for the sin of the world, mankind was even dead in their sin. Mankind was still in bondage to sin and death. When John comes and says, "For God so loved the world," he's not talking about God so loved the believers. He's talking about God so loved the world. He's talking about something God felt in his heart for man, even when man was dead in their sin. And so John sees something about the way God felt for man in his heart, even when they were dead in their sin, that inspired him to write, "For God so loved the world." He sees something about the beauty God beheld in man, even when man was dead in their sin, that influenced him to write, "For God so loved the world." He sees something about God's heart for mankind, even when they were dead in their sin, that the only way he could describe what he saw there was to say, "For God so loved the world." Okay? And it's critical to understand it from this foundation. All right, and to see what's going on. This is telling us something about the heart of God, man. And so, you know, the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, and that Holy Spirit dwelled in John, and through the Holy Spirit dwelling in John, God is showing John what he saw in man. And so he's saying to John, "John, do you see what I see?" And John, "Do you see what I see?" I don't know. I think I'm going to sing a bunch of songs today. I'm sorry, guys. And John is like, "Yes, Father, I see that you saw so much beauty in us that your desire was unto us and you pursued us with all of your heart." That's what John is talking about there. That's what is going on when he looks at what's happening there. And so what does it mean that God so loved the world? You know, when it says God so loved the world, what it means is that when God looked at the world, when God looked at mankind, he saw something there that took his breath away. What it means is that when God looked at mankind, the beauty he beheld there caused him to breathe after us. Okay? That's what it means. You know, you breathe after somebody because they take your breath away. You behold so much beauty in them that they captivate your heart and your imagination, and they take your breath away. And because they've taken your breath away, you're now breathing after them. glory to God? That's what it means that God so loved the world. When you look up that word love in Greek, that's what it's talking about, to breathe after, to take one's breath away. And so what it means when it says God so loved the world, it means that, man, he saw so much beauty in us. He saw something in us, even when we were dead in our sin, that his heart was overwhelmed by the feeling of love. That's what it's talking about. You know, when a man loves a woman, he loses his breath when he sees her, right? When a man loves a woman, that's how love comes about. You behold the woman and they take your breath away. So when a man loves a woman, guys, when they see a woman and they love the woman, what happens is she takes our breath away. That's what happens when a man loves a woman. They see a woman and it's like everything, they're so captivated by her that everything fades into the background and it's like the clouds part and the sun shines on her face and her face is like illuminated and there's wind blowing in her hair and you hear like this goofy song playing in your head. You're like, who's that lady, lovely lady, who's that lady? That's a song from the 70s, I think, guys. Man, listen, that's what's going on when a man loves a woman. It's as if time has stood still and there's nothing else that exists or matters but this woman they see. That's what it's like when a man loves a woman. Now listen, guys, that's what John is describing about God when God looked on the world even when they were dead in their sin. That's the thing John is trying to describe about God, guys. He's trying to describe this feeling in God's heart that God had when he looked on the world. And oh, by the way, God had this feeling in his heart when he looked on the world even when they were dead in their sin. So much so that, man, when he saw a woman, when he saw mankind, what happened was, man, his heart skipped a beat. They took his breath away. And because they took his breath away, he breathed after them. He pursued them. He came after them because his heart was overwhelmed by the feeling of love he felt for them and because his desire was unto them. That's what John's talking about there, man. And I think sometimes we've kind of depersonalized the love of God, to the degree that we've made it very mechanical, you know, and because we've made it so mechanical and unpersonal, it's kind of like stripped the power that it has to touch our lives. And ladies, for those of you that are married, if you're wondering, that's how your husband feels about you, with the way I just described it. Ladies, if you're wondering, if you're married, that's what your husband feels for you. Forget about whether or not he's told you that way. Forget about whether or not he's good at telling you. Forget about whether or not you think it always manifests. If you want to know what's in that guy's heart for you, I just described it. When he saw you, you took his breath away. When he saw you, he was so captivated by you that time stood still. That, man, everything faded into the background and became blurry. You know, like you manipulate the photos now where you make everything on the outside blurry? Everything became blurry. The clouds parted. The sun shined on your face. Man, your hair was blowing in the wind. This crazy, goofy music started playing. Time stood still. Nothing else in the world mattered or existed. And because you took his breath away, man, he breathed after you. That's called courting. Him breathing after you. Right? Glory to God. So ladies, if you don't know, that's what your husband feels for you. Thank you, Father. And ladies, if you're not married, listen, that's what God feels for you. Your maker is your husband. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know if you got, I guess this is the song about, the message is about song. Maybe we just call this message a song, but I don't know if you guys, it escaped me till just now, but I don't know if you guys have ever heard that Queen song, Find Me Somebody to Love, Find Me Somebody to Love, Find Me Somebody to Love, Somebody, 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 Can Anybody Find Me Somebody to Love? This is church, right? Imagine that, man. Now listen, that guy had a dream in his heart that there could be someone out there that he could love. He had a dream in his heart that he could find someone to love. He had a desire in his heart that he could find someone that would take his breath away. Someone that would captivate his heart and his imagination to such a degree that, man, he could find himself chasing after them. He could find himself loving them. He could find his life changed by finding them. This guy had a longing in his heart to find somebody to love. Guys, he had this, you can hear the longing, right? I mean, I remember when I was a kid, I kind of felt the same thing. I'm like searching the earth, trying to find somebody to love. And if you think you ain't found somebody to love yet, you hear that song and you get teary-eyed, don't you? It like pierces you to the deepest part of your being. Well, now it pierces me for a completely different reason, right? It pierces my heart for a completely different reason, hearing the longing this guy had in his heart to find someone to love. You know, there, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I was walking through a hotel / casino, and they were playing that song over the loudspeaker, that Queen song, Find Me Some, and I was just going through my normal thing thinking, glory to God, I found someone to love, man. And yes, indeed, man, when I saw Becky, it was like there were multiple suns in the universe that all shone on her at the same time, you know, and she was like, it was like whistling Sweet Dixie, you know, the Southern boy whistling Dixie, woo-hoo, find a California girl, right? All of it came together. Many songs played at once. But I was walking through the casino, and I heard this song, and I'm just singing along because it's a popular song, blah, 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 whatever. And then all of a sudden, I just felt God say inside of my heart, Greg, that's what I was singing when I was making creation. And I was like, He said, that song was in my heart when I was making creation. Find me somebody to love, find me somebody to love. And you see, it changed everything then. You see, because my heart had connected with that song already before I even connected with God. Now all of a sudden it became deeply personal and relational because I could relate to that feeling. It wasn't just I heard God loves me. It's because so many times, guys, we hear God loves us and it means zit to us, right? But because I had felt something in my heart concerning that song and what it meant to love someone and to find someone to love, because it had already deeply touched me. When he came and told me, that's what he was singing when he was busy making creation. And he had us in his heart. It touched me deep in the bottom of my soul, man, in the deepest part of my being, because I could relate to that feeling. And now all of a sudden, I wasn't just hearing God love me, but now all of a sudden, I could feel what he felt, what he feels for me. And the thing became real, man. It became really real. And then I connected all of the things that I thought just about this guy and about me. I connected them all with God. And I began to see what it meant for God so loved the world. I began to see what it meant that I took God's breath away. I began to see what it meant that he breathed after me. Man, God had a dream in his heart also that he could find someone to love. He had a desire in his heart that he could find someone that would take his breath away. Someone that would make his heart skip a beat. Someone that could be the apple of his eye. He also had this dream. God had a longing in his heart to find someone he could love. He had a longing in his heart for the dream he had for his life to come to pass. And when he looked upon the world, when he looked upon mankind, even when they were dead in their sin, his heart said, I found that which I had always longed for. Glory to God. When he saw mankind, guys, when he sees you, he lost his breath. He saw what he dreamt of in the beginning with creation. He found someone who captivated his heart and his imagination. He found someone to love. And I don't know if you guys realize it, when you love somebody, you don't like make a decision you're going to love them. You behold something in them that captivates your heart and your imagination, and you find yourself loving them. Right? I didn't go off in the corner and say, well, you know, Becky's got all the things I'm looking for. You know, she's real smart. She's got a good job. She's got good credit. You know, whatever things the world tells you, you got to find, right? I mean, forget about home ec. They teach you all the things, you know, you got to judge everybody by, and they're a good mate. All those things are rubbish. But I didn't go off on the side and start thinking, well, Becky meets all the requirements that I have. My goodness, I think I'll love her. Do you see what I'm saying? She drew something out of me that was based on something that had been dwelling in my heart concerning what I always wanted when I could find someone to love. And when I saw her, man, it drew something out of my heart, and she captivated my heart and my imagination. That's how it was for God when he saw man. That's how it was for God when he looked at the world, even when they were dead in their sin. For God so loved the world, man. That's like, what's sad is it's difficult for even the church to hear that God loves people when they're, no, brother, you can't love people when they're in sin. Can't be. There's actually verses that say this. All the verses say this. Glory to God. You know, it's like when you've been looking for someone your whole life to love. Man, God's been living for a long time. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I think about just my life. It took me, I thought 24 years. Was it 24, 25 when we found? Man, I thought 24 years was like, oh, I'm going to die. You know? Imagine God, all eternity. But you know what it's like when you find that someone to love and you'd had this image in your heart all along of what it would be like if you could find them? You almost have like this sense of feeling what it would feel like when they touched your skin. You almost have this sense of feeling of what it would be like to walk through earth. And it's like, man, when you find the one that you had this image of in your heart, when you come across that someone that you can love and you find them, man, you're overwhelmed with like this feeling of joy. You're overwhelmed with love. Your heart is overwhelmed with this feeling of excitement. Your heart is overwhelmed with this feeling of joy. Man, you get butterflies. Your palms get wet, man. For God so loved you. You see, we don't connect this kind of thing to God. We've depersonalized God's love, and we've made it mechanical to where we just talk about it. We no longer experience, man. And that time's over. It's over now, glory to God. When Adam, and so God, let me just rehash it all because I'll get carried away now. For God so loved the world, when John says, for God so loved the world, he's talking about a longing God had in his heart to find someone that could captivate his heart and imagination, to find someone that could cause his heart to skip a beat, to find someone that could take his breath away. And then God found that someone. He found what his heart had always been longing for when he looked at the world. He found what his heart had always been longing for when he looked at mankind. You know, we see this thing in Adam. Adam also had a longing to find someone to love. Adam had a longing to find someone to love. He went through all of creation, and he gave names to everything in creation looking for someone to love. He went through all of creation looking for someone that could captivate his heart and his imagination, but he didn't find anyone that stole his heart. And so, guys, Adam was singing, "Find me somebody to love." That's a camel. "Me somebody to love." That's a zebra. "Me somebody to love." That's a dolphin. "Me somebody to love." And then maybe the zebra came in. "Somebody, somebody, somebody." This is what Adam felt in his heart, man. Adam, listen, man, Adam had a longing in his heart to find someone to love. And then he saw Eve, and his heart said, "Ooh la la." He saw Eve, man, and his heart skipped a beat. He saw Eve, man, and she captivated his heart and his imagination. And then he found something in his heart that said, this is what my heart had always been longing for. I found me somebody to love. Now listen, Paul says something profound that we gloss over. We read the account of Adam, and we're just like, yeah, it's a great account of Adam. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's nice. Real nice. So what? Blah, blah, blah. Adam blew it. Now he's cursed. That's what we take out of that. But Paul said something profound in Romans 1. He said that God uses the visible things of creation to reveal the invisible things concerning himself. Okay? So when the Holy Spirit is recording this account with Adam, he's trying to describe something to all of us about God. He's trying to reveal something invisible about God and what was in God's heart through Adam. And so he's revealing something through Adam that we can all see and that we can all relate to. Adam's a man, I'm a man, I can relate to what it's like when I see a woman. Glory to God, I can relate to that. But he's not just revealing it so we can relate to Adam, man. He's revealing God through Adam so we can not just relate to Adam, but we can relate to what was in God's heart. God had a longing in his heart for somebody to love. He made all of creation looking for someone that could captivate his heart and his imagination, but he didn't find anyone that stole his heart. And so, guys, God was singing, "Find me somebody to love." And by then, God had the angels, you know. And so they got this great chorus going on. They're all singing, "Find me somebody to love." They're really getting excited about this thing. "Find me somebody to love." So God's saying, "Find me somebody to love." And then God comes upon mankind. He comes upon Adam, which in Hebrew means mankind. God comes upon Adam, and he sees Adam, and his heart says, "Ooh la la." Shelly, is that really? Oh, Shelly's not here. Shelly, is that really a French thing? Ooh la la, or did we just come up with that? It is? Okay. And so God, all right, I'm not making this stuff up, man. Sometimes you ask God, am I making this stuff up? Does it just sound good to me, or is this stuff real? I'm just joking. The Spirit of the living God confirms with the feeling of the love of God. And listen, when you've experienced and felt the love of God, there's no mistaking it. There's no pretending that it may not exist. You know what I'm saying? You know, and you don't know with your intellect. You know because you experienced that thing, and ain't nobody going to walk you out of it. Glory to God. That's called knowing the love of God. But God came across Adam singing, "Find me somebody to love. Can anybody?" And then he sees Adam and his heart says, "Ooh la la." He sees Adam, he sees mankind, and they take his breath away. They make his heart skip a beat. He sees Adam, mankind captivates his heart and his imagination. And then what happens is, man, God's heart says, "I found that which I had always been looking for." You know, like that U2 song, "I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I still," you know that longing that song makes you feel? How many of you rode around listening to that song and also feeling like you still hadn't found what you were looking for? You can relate to that song? That's also how I felt before I found Becky. Listen, man, that's the longing that was in God's heart. I still hadn't found what I was looking for. And then he saw Adam, and Adam caused him to lose his breath. Adam took his breath away. He said, "Ooh la la," and his heart said, "Man, this is what I desired all along. This is the someone I'd been looking for to love. This is what my heart had always been longing for. Here it is right in front of me. Hallelujah." Glory to God. It's amazing we're almost done, isn't it? I told you there'd be signs, wonders, and miracles today. I'm even slowing down because I'm thinking, am I even going to hit 20 minutes? If you weren't here at the beginning, I said we'd have signs, wonders, and miracles, and the greatest sign, wonder, miracle we'd have is that, man, I'd preach a short message. But back to, "For God so loved the world." So we just covered the part about God so loved the world. Do we see what's going on in God now when God so loved the world? Okay, so because God so loved the world, he sent his only son, right? That all who would believe might not perish but have everlasting life. See, we kind of strip the heart of God behind sending his son from the verse. And we just think of it as, well, man, God doesn't want to send me to hell, right? That's kind of what we think. Oh, man. Listen, if the first thing you're thinking when you read John 3:16 is, man, you don't want to go to hell, you're glad God sent Jesus to save you from hell, you missed it, man. You missed what's going on there. You missed what John's talking about. You're missing the power of what's going on there. So for God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son. You know, when a man loves a woman, all he can think of is that he wants to spend the rest of his life with her. That's what happens. He's captivated by her. All he can think of is how he wants to spend the rest of his life with her. All he can think of is how he wants to spend the rest of his life loving her with every ounce of his being. All he can think of is how he wants to spend all of his days loving her with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his strength, with all his might. That's all he can think of. And then his heart begins thinking of, how can I woo her? How can I convince her to let me love her for all of my life? Right? Guys, am I lying? I'm not lying. And listen, guys, I don't want to blow your cover, but man, sometimes we'll even like fudge some of the numbers, you know, to convince her to come be with us, right? The accountant would say that, right? Right? Lest she see some of our blemish and not be convinced that to let us love her for all eternity. Listen, man, we're not busy thinking about her. We're busy thinking, man, can I just talk this woman into letting me love her for all my life? That's what we're thinking, man. That's what's going on when a man loves a woman. That's what God's thinking when it says, for God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son, that all who would believe might not perish but have everlasting life. He's busy thinking because he sees the apple of his eye, because he comes across the world, he comes across mankind, and he sees them and they take his breath away. He's busy thinking of, how can I love them for all my life, and his life is eternity? So he's busy thinking, how can I find a way to be able to love them for all of my life? How can I find a way where I can love them with every ounce of my being for the rest of my life? How can I find a way where I could love them with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my strength for the rest of my life? This is what God's thinking, man. John 3:16, the verse that we're like, yeah, I know it. So, because God beheld beauty in you, because his heart longed to be with us and to spend eternity loving us, he sent his son. Okay? He sent his son. Because we satisfied the desire in his heart, because he found what he had always been longing for, because he lost his breath when he saw us, he chased after us. He set about to woo us to himself, and he set about to bring something about where he could spend all eternity loving us. He set about to bring something about where he could spend all of his life, where he could spend all of his days loving us with every ounce of his being. He set about to bring something about where he could have his dream for his life, which was to love you for all eternity. Glory to God. God so loved the world as that God came to love you into eternal life where he could then love you forever. For God so loved you. Oh, man. So he sent his son. You guys see why he sent his son now? You see the foundation for why he sent his son? He's busy thinking of, how can I love them for all eternity? How can I find a way that I can be with this one who took my breath away, and I can be with them for all eternity? And not only will I just not be in there in the same room with them, but how can I find a way where I can love them with every ounce of my being for all of eternity? So he sent his son. Okay? It's like Ezekiel 16. If you read Ezekiel 16, it says God walked by the Hebrews and he saw them in their blood. When he says he saw them in their blood, blood is a sign of death. So what he's saying in Ezekiel 16 is that he walked by the Hebrews and he saw them in bondage to sin and death. And do you know what Ezekiel says that God said? That God's heart, when he saw the Hebrews in their blood, when he saw the Hebrews in bondage to sin and death, Ezekiel says the thing that came out of God's heart was, behold, it's the time of love. That's what Ezekiel says about God's heart. God walked by the Hebrews. They were in death, they were in their sin, they were in their blood. And you know what God's heart said? They're despicable and I can't look upon them. That's what we've been taught, right? No. That's not what Ezekiel says God's heart says. Ezekiel says, God says, behold, it's the time of love. And then when God says, behold, it's the time of love, after he walks by them, after he sees them in bondage to sin and death, and his heart says, this is what you've been looking for, this is the one you wanted to find to love, and his heart said, behold, it's the time of love, Ezekiel said, God came to them and said, live, live. They were dead. God wanted to love them for all eternity. So he came and spoke a word to them to bring forth life in them so they could be saved from death. They could be raised up from death. They could live for all eternity so God could live all of his days loving them with every ounce of his being. Man, this is the gospel. You see what I'm saying? What's been going on in the world that we don't hear this every week? We've been seeking the church, man. We're supposed to seek God. You know, when you seek God, Paul says, if you seek God, happily you'll find him. You know what you find when you find him? You find he's been seeking you. You see what I'm saying? You don't find that you found him. You found that he'd all the time been seeking you, and now you just see that his desire has been unto you. You thought your desire was unto him, and then you get it twisted. You realize, oh my gosh, this guy's desire has been unto me. You think you were looking for something? Man, he was looking for you. You think he's beautiful and now your desire's unto him? No, man, he thinks you're beautiful and his desire's unto you. You can't actually even know what it means to love God unless you see his desire has always been unto you. You can only think about it in your head and say, well, I love God because you heard that's the right thing to do. So Ezekiel 16, God walked by the Hebrews. He saw them in their blood, and his heart said, my gosh, this is the one I'm looking for to love. His heart told him it was the time of love, meaning, man, let's get it on. You know what I'm saying? And spiritually, in the sense of, let me give them my spirit and we can become one like that, and then they can live. So John 3:16 is talking about the same thing that Ezekiel was talking about. God walked by the world and he saw them in their blood. He saw them in death. He saw them in their sin. He saw them in their death. And when he saw them, even in their sin, in their death, his heart said something to him because of the beauty he beheld in them. His heart said, man, it's the time for love. Let's get it on. And so he said, let me now join myself to man. And then we have the incarnation. We have the Word made flesh. We have God wanting to be with man so badly he becomes one. But we're trying to get to God, right? We're trying to climb up into heaven, right? Through our good works. And so John says, man, God walked by the world. He saw them in their blood. He saw them in bondage to sin and death. And because of the beauty he beheld there, his heart told him it was the time of love. So God said to the world, live. He sent his word, didn't he? Who's his word? Jesus. So God saw the world in their blood. And because of the beauty he beheld for them, even when they were dead in their sin, his heart said, it's the time of love. Let us now send our word to them so that our word can cause them to live eternally. And not the reason we're going to send our word so that our word can cause them to live eternally is so we could spend all of our days loving them with every ounce of our being. Jesus is the manifestation of what Ezekiel said when God walked by the Hebrews and said, live. He sent his son so that we might have everlasting life. Didn't he? That's God speaking a word to us. Live, man. I don't want you to die. Behold, I've walked by you and I've seen you in your blood. I see you in your sin and your death. And my heart tells me it's the time for love. My heart tells me I've found the one I've been looking for to love. And I don't want you to die. I want to preserve your life eternally in me. Not so you can love me, but so I can love you with every ounce of my being. So God sends Jesus. Because just like I was busy trying to bring something about where I could convince this woman who's way out of my league to let me love her for all of my life, man, I also set about to make a plan to where I could woo her and convince her to let me love her for all of our life, because all I want to do is love her with every ounce of my being. In the same way, man, when God saw us in our death, he set about with the plan. He set about to woo us. He wanted to spend all eternity loving us. He wanted to spend all eternity loving us with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his strength. He wanted to spend every ounce, every moment of eternity loving us with every ounce of his being. But there was a problem, man. There was something in the way that was keeping him from being able to love us for all eternity. We were dying. We were in bondage to sin and death. So he couldn't love us for all eternity because we were perishing. And so God says, man, how can I love them for all eternity if they're dying? And so he sends his son. He sends his son in order that all who could see his son and believe his son, that could hear this word about his love for them and how he's just inviting them to come live with him eternally, not where they can love him, but where he can love them. He sends his son to bring about this thing. He sends his son to conquer our death. He sends his son to destroy the thing that's destroying us and that's keeping us from living eternally. He sends his son to destroy that which is destroying the ones he loves. He sends his son to destroy that which is destroying the ones that captivated his heart and his imagination. Why did he send his son? Because he wants to spend all eternity loving you with every ounce of his being. The reason why is because he was singing a song in his heart. Find me somebody to love, find me. And then he found us. But we were in our blood. And so he said, I see that this thing there's something in the way that'll keep me from my dream of being with them for all eternity and loving them with every ounce of my being. I see that I'm living forever. I got a long life ahead of me. There's no beginning or end. But these people that I want to spend my whole life, all eternity, loving with every ounce of my being, these people that are the ones that satisfy the longing I had in my heart, these people that have taken my breath away, man, when I find them, man, they're dying. They're not living eternally. So that's in my way. That's keeping me from my dream. And so I'm going to send my son this word that can bring life to them. And I'm going to send my son, and we're going to conquer the thing that's killing them and keeping this from us being able to love them with every ounce of our being. I'm going to send my son to destroy this thing. Glory to God. Because God lost his breath, guys, when he looked at us, he wanted to spend the rest of his life loving us. So he sent his son to send death away from us so he could live with us eternally and he could spend eternity loving us with every ounce of his being. That's "for God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son, that all who might believe wouldn't perish but have everlasting life." That's that verse. That's what's going on there. Man, do you guys, I just feel like I just know God so much better. And I just feel like I know that verse so much better now. It's like, you know, we don't have to know God from afar. It's like he could be there with you telling you that. You know, when I preach this message, I preach this message because I felt as if I saw God standing there with me telling me that. And it pierced my heart. It pierced my soul. And it brought vibrance. As a vibrant thing he brought to me about that verse. And this is "for God so loved the world." He lost his breath. This caused him to love. The ones he wanted to love were dying. He sent his son to save them from their dying so that he could then spend all eternity loving them with every ounce of his being. He sent his son so he could woo us and convince us to let him love us with every ounce of his being for the rest of his days. Glory to God. That's "for God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son, that all who would believe might not perish but have everlasting life." Amen. Glory to God. Give God a hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, man. Thank you for your patience, man. You guys have a great Mother's Day. We love all you guys. You guys are a great blessing to God. Walk away with this feeling of God in your heart and connect to this God, because this is the only God we described today. Hallelujah. I love you guys. Signs, wonders, and miracles, as promised. What, 25 minutes?